Put the just put the emphasis on the proper syllable.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Chrononauts, as we guide you to the experience of time travel using pop culture as our pineal gland. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop. It's a time pop. Pop is what it is.
It's a pop.
I'm going to pop in
my That's a lot of plosive in your pop.
Time pop. Today, in the present, we will be discussing Synchronic from the past, and you will listen to it in the future, which is now.
Wow, that's deep. Minds are blown.
Minds are blowing all over the place. Synchronic, the 2019 movie rated R, restricted for some viewers at 1 hour and 42 minutes, written by Justin Benson, directed by the same Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, starring Anthony Mackie, Jamie Dornan, Katie Asselton, and a bunch of other people who are acting in this movie. Ari?
Wait, who's the main guy?
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, the guy who was the guy in the thing.
The Falcon.
Yeah.
That's why I said him loud and proud, because we know who he is.
And Jamie Dornan is Mr. 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome.
Did you see that one, Scott?
And Katie Asselton is Mark Duplass's wife. That's neither here nor there. Yes. She was in the league.
That's not here nor there. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome. I did not see 50 Shades of Grey. Maybe that'll be in our other podcast called Kinky Nighttime Bedtime Love Movies, which will be coming out soon.
Desmond's mind's blown.
We haven't even talked about time travel yet.
I am.
Because of Jamie Dornan?
I don't want to weight shame anybody, but did he put on some weight for this, or did they just put on a beard, puffy coats to make him look a little?
He's wearing a beard and messy hair instead of a bathrobe.
Well, he's going through a midlife crisis, so I think he's supposed to be a little out of shape and fuck life a little bit. He's not like, you know, this guy doesn't have a sex dungeon.
I love that we're not going to talk about this movie. We're just going to talk about being confused about the sex dungeon man.
Scott.
Yeah.
What's in the centerpiece of your sex dungeon?
Oh, well, we got rid of the Iron Maiden. There's a lot of superhero outfits. There's some like wolf costumes. There's some claws, whips, a lot of chocolate sauce, like really hot, like hot fudge, like the kind you get at the restaurant that melts the ice cream.
Very nice.
Candle wax, nipple clamps. Am I missing anything else? Rakes.
Oh, I just have a cotton candy machine.
You would have popcorn and a movie and a projector.
I would get them naked, handcuff them to the bed, and make them watch Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that sounds like a good Desmond date. We should probably talk about this movie at some point.
I want to hear you and I are our tongues are bleeding from biting our tongues after hanging out today. And we dropped a few little nuggets. Oh, did Ari disappear?
Yeah, Ari disappeared. She's run off into the she'll be back in 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Where does your couch take you?
Yeah. Where does my couch take me?
Yeah.
Oh, in seven. Oh man. I mean, you can't control where it takes you. That's the whole thing. But it would be, let's see, in Oakland, and it could be a bunch of oak trees here. It would be years ago. I don't know. Maybe some cavemen, maybe an ice age.
We're gonna get into that.
Maybe the 60s?
You're already wrong.
It's where you want it to take you.
It's not where you want it to take
me. No, but where would you?
Oh, where would I want it to take me?
Woodstock. It's always Woodstock.
No,
right?
I'm not in New York. It wouldn't even take me to Woodstock.
Yes. Okay, we're gonna talk about this in a minute. You make a good point, though. I think you may have just fixed this movie for
time
me.
And yeah, it's not space. It's only time. You don't move in time and space, just in time. That's what I was saying. I would just move in where I'm sitting in Oakland. I would just go to this place in Oakland, how many ever years ago? Should we talk about the movie?
Ari.
Hi, guys. I was just letting you do your thing, talking about sex dungeons and whatever.
Yeah, she's like, is that on the wrong podcast? Which one is this?
Do you two want to be left alone?
You don't. No one wants that.
We've had those podcasts.
Ari.
Hi, Desi.
Hot take.
Summer in the City.
Synchronicity.
Oh, right.
Synchronic. Synchronic.
Synchronic.
First, what do you think? What do you think of this film?
The film itself only okay, but I really liked a lot of the concepts in this movie. And I'm excited to talk about them. And I'm excited to talk about the whole.
Yes. Yes. You guys may have just filled in my biggest hole already. So I don't think I have anything to talk about.
Wait, what was your hole?
I'm glad we filled in his biggest hole.
I was thinking that it was, depending on where you stood in the room, sometimes took you to a different place.
Oh no, different time, but the same place.
What about the guy? I mean, I guess the same place could have been a desert at one point and then could have been a lush rainforest and then could have had a third floor hotel on it. I guess that's plausible. But the movie opens with one person going to a rainforest and then another guy walking 60 feet and going to...
I mean, it wasn't a rainforest. It was a swamp. They're in New Orleans.
Oh, you're right.
So he ended up in swamps, or he ended up in a war in an ice age.
The girl was in a rainforest, the girl that got bit by a snake. I feel like we should kind of backtrack yeah. here. So whenever we do these podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, we always assume that you have also seen the movie that we are talking about.
Yes.
If you haven't, go watch it. It's not that long, this one. And then come back to us. So we assume everyone's seen this. So what we were talking about was, when the people travel, do they travel in time and space, or is it just time? And I took it as they just travel in time and not space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think these directors really like the movie Seven.
Yeah.
What?
The style of this film.
Yeah.
It's slow and it's dark and it's just going through like the muck of life and everything is slow and
artsy.
And yeah. So it had that vibe to it.
Well, I'm convinced that the writer of this movie was going through a really nasty divorce when he wrote this. Or not even really a nasty divorce, just kind of midlife crisis, maybe split up, not divorced yet. Like, there's a lot of whatever the writer was going through in the middle of this science fiction horror movie.
That's assumed, yeah. But I like this one is different from what we've done, right? This is a psychedelic drug that goes into a gland that helps you time travel.
But only if you're under the age of like 20 or something.
So the people, all right, this movie opens up in a hotel room with some 20 something, some people that we find out later, I think are about to age out of the effects of this drug. And I'm not sure they get the full effect. I think they just kind of, that's why that guy's body is still in our time, why they find that guy's body in our time, because he just kind of ghosts a little bit. And then,
which guy?
The one that fell?
The two at the beginning, the couple at the beginning that trip in the hotel room. She stays in the bed, he grabs the ice bucket and goes to the elevator. And then later when we meet the maker of the drug, he says adults just kind of ghost in and out of time, where kids full on time travel. And I feel like our first couple was, they were not 16 or 17. Like they were, I felt like they were 25-ish. And
yeah, but they fully were there. She was right. Fully there and got bit by a snake.
She wasn't. Her hotel room, she never left her bed. Her bed never disappeared.
She just kind of appeared on like some grassy area.
Yeah, she did. They showed a part where I think the bed was gone. I mean, yeah. Everything starts slowly like disintegrating. But she
why did his body? Why?
Because he jumped. Remember, he jumped. He thought he was jumping into sand, and then he probably came back and he fell onto actual hard ground.
Why? Because if he fell, he was not in the same place as he was when he time traveled. Therefore,
oh wait,
so it was the same.
He had
reason...
the sword, actually, right?
No. This guy was the guy that was in the elevator shaft fell down into the sand.
Yes.
So where he started was on the second story. So just like when the guy fell out of the tree, he was on the roof of that building. Wherever he traveled to, the ground was two stories below him. So he fell into the sand. And when he came back, I guess he had also hit the elevators because his like legs were broken.
Yeah,
off.
No, he must have transferred over. He must have been coming back as he was falling.
Yeah.
So these time origins go infinitely up. Then
you're literally you literally do not change. You move time, but not in space. You're living in the exact same space.
If you time travel and you walk 20 feet and don't come back 7 minutes later, you're stuck there forever.
Right.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
So if he fell two stories, he was not in the exact place he was when he skitzed out.
That's true. That could be a hole.
There's some holes.
Therefore, or it just, like I said, so if he was on the bed one floor up, he and his girlfriend would have skitched to the exact same place.
No, because she was in a different location.
Then so he shouldn't be here. They should not have found his body.
She went to a completely different time because she was in a different spot.
Right.
And he, I don't know if it has something to do with dying because the bodies always came back. The girl that was burnt came back.
Oh, that's true.
We don't know if she was in the same place though.
Yeah. The guy in the elevator could be a hole. That could be a hole in the script. If he was not in the same spot, no, he shouldn't have come back. But I don't know if because he was dead or he was already phasing back. I don't know.
Maybe he was already starting to phase back. Maybe he was at 6.5 minutes when he fell. So the beginning starts a little, we're just like, all right, cool. These people are tripping. They time travel. We don't know what's going on. Then we jump to our main guys, Anthony Mackie and Jamie Dornan, and they are EMT workers driving around in an ambulance, rescuing people in Louisiana. And they keep going to these calls where they keep finding these empty packets of the drug Synchronic, and they keep finding weird, and all these people are dead, and they keep finding weird items next to the bodies. They find a Victorian doorknob, a coin, a franc from, I wrote that one down, a sword. Is that it?
Yeah, just a few things out of its time.
Yeah, and we're following these guys around. Anthony Mackie is an aging stud who's starting to get tired of the party life and drinking and boning and everything in sight. Jamie Dornan he's got an 18-year-old that's about to go to college and a baby, and he is
complaining about life all the time.
He's not happy with his life. His daughter sucks. His wife sucks. Babies suck. So he's not.
Right. But there's a one-way relationship. Every time he sees Anthony Mackie, he's complaining. He's always got doubts, never appreciative. And it seems like he's got a pretty good family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little jealous. They're jealous of each other's lives. The grass is greener, and the married guy wants to go to a strip club, and the guy to strip club wants to go home to a loving family.
Right. And then then we find out that Anthony Mackie has got a brain tumor.
Yeah, he gets stuck with a needle, so he goes and gets tested for HIV. He gets stuck with a needle while he's tending to a dying body, and gets tested, and they don't find HIV, but they find this pineal gland tumor. Or is it in the pineal gland? Is the tumor?
Yeah, right. Wasn't it right on the top of it? That way the doctors could explain to us exactly what his pineal gland is like, which is very important to the script.
Yes. Pineal gland. The pineal gland is a small P-shaped gland in the brain. Its function isn't fully understood. How convenient for a sci-fi story. Researchers do know that it produces and regulates some hormones, including melatonin. There we go. So it's
right, which is known for regulating sleep patterns. Do you see, there was a reference to it being the third eye. Did you catch the doctor saying that?
No.
He referenced it as the third eye, and I thought it was weird. I looked up the gland and it says, yeah, it's considered, they call it the third eye. It says the primary function of letting in light and darkness, just as our two eyes do. The gland is the melatonin secreting neuroendocrine organ containing light sensitive cells that control the circadian rhythm. So kind of interesting.
It is interesting that they don't fully understand its function.
The size of your pineal gland may indicate your risk for certain mood disorders. One study suggests that a lower pineal gland volume may increase your risk of developing schizophrenia.
Mm.
Yeah, so they picked really interesting.
Pineal gland and cancer. So
it talked about how this gland, something to do with teenagers or with kids, it like stops developing or something.
It hardens as you grow older and therefore is not as malleable.
Is that real? in real life, or is that part of the movie?
I don't think it's part of the real thing, at least that it says. In the quick reason,
because there is a gland in your body that does harden over time, or like turns into fat or something, but it has to do with your immune system and your white blood cells, and by the time you're like 13 or 14 or something, it completely goes away, and that's why kids have such great immune systems.
Oh, kids are awesome.
Yeah, anyway, he goes to the doctor in this, and the doctor says specifically, oh, you have the pineal gland of an 18-year-old. It's really weird normally for older people, but yours is, and that's right where your tumor is. And so now we know this about him, that he's probably like late 30s, probably 38 or 39, but he has a pineal gland of an 18-year-old. How convenient.
Convenient for the story.
For the story. And yeah, you know, as we get into this more, it's really, that's too convenient.
Nope. The pineal gland shows clear age-related changes. Human pineal glands calcify as you increase in age.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about, right? His did not calcify as often. And this was specifically, thank God he had the shot. Thank God he went there. They checked out his pineal gland because it's very significant later on.
Perfect. All right. Well, this is just this is fact. This is science fact. This is just, we're just one pill away. So they keep going to these sites where people are overdosing, and they go to a site finally, and what's his name's Jamie Dornan's daughter had been there. They said Brianna was right there, and we don't know where she is. She passed out, or she was just chilling in that chair, and then they show an empty chair, and now Brianna is gone, and there is an empty synchronic wrapper sitting on the arm of the chair. Now what?
then it's tearing apart the marriage of his buddy, right, who already had a bad marriage, and him and his wife are fighting because the daughter's not around and they're freaking out. Our hero is kind of getting a little more depressed with the situation, right?
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, they're kind of, he starts to undergo some treatments, and you could see he's like getting tired, he's getting a little jacked up by his tumor.
So but he decides to go, and because there was a bag, someone had a bag of the, I guess it's like a smoke shop or a weed shop where they bought these drugs. And I don't know how you could have over-the-counter drugs.
It's synthetic. It's synthetic. They made it in a lab and they used all legal chemicals to make this. And they figured out all these designs. You can actually get these in smoke shops. And obviously most of them don't work this well.
Until they crack down on them, and then, right.
And then eventually they'll say, okay, well, we got to, that substance is now illegal.
So Anthony Mackie knows where this was bought. So he goes there and buys them out of their supply, which is like 8 or 10 pills or something like that. And as he's buying these pills, a guy walks in after him and says like, hey, can I buy those all from you? And Anthony Mackie's like, this shit is killing kids. How dare you? This is terrible. And it turns out that the guy following him, who ends up breaking into Anthony Mackie's house, was the scientist that created this drug. And he's like, I'm trying to collect them all back because this stuff is happening.
Yeah, he was going to make a synthetic DMT.
Yeah, and they had, and then, he got rumor that people were dying from it.
With a rare ingredient, like some red powder from China or something.
Yeah, some flour, some ingredient. But then comes the scientific explanation of the time travel.
Yeah, here it is.
And how does he do it? He does it as a needle on the record.
Yes.
So he says, and this made Scott very happy because this
my jam.
This is his favorite concept, his favorite theory about time, is that all time is happening all at once. So he picked up a record and said, it's like all the songs are there. If you drop the needle at a certain time, then you play that song. And, you know, that's what life is like for us. We are the needle at that time on that record. We have that song. But he said that this drug is like the needle, and you can just drop it wherever you want on the record. So that was how he explained the time travel in this movie.
Yes. Yeah, that was very cool. I liked that a lot.
So then Anthony Mackie decides he's going to take the drugs. He's going to try it.
To rescue Brianna.
Yeah.
He feels like, you know, perfect, right? Again, the script is set up for everything, but he's dying anyway, so might as well give it a shot to rescue
her. And he can use it because his gland is that of a 18-year-old.
Which is what the scientist explains to him when he's saying stuff. He's like, only someone with a pineal gland of an 18-year-old before it's calcified can do this. And so Anthony Mackie's, oh, that's me. Sweet.
Yeah, because of course it comes up when the scientist is there. He sees the pamphlets that say, you know, dealing with death. And then so he's like, oh, sorry, someone in your family is dying. He's like, oh, it's me. It's cancer. It's my pineal gland. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah. Oh, so perfect.
So he did lie to the scientist and said that he flushed all the pills, but he had not. So he has all these pills and he's like, you know what?
He's got eight.
I think he's got eight. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he takes one, and the first time he takes one, he does not film himself. He ends up filming all of his trips, I guess you could call them. But the first one, he does not film himself. He's sitting on the couch and not really expecting much. And then all of a sudden, his surroundings start to dissolve. I thought it was a kind of an interesting effect, how they did the travel. Like melts,
yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of melts away.
And his first one takes a while. I mean, I don't want to get too caught up on it, but
they made it seem like it was an hour or something.
Yeah, he was getting bored and drinking and watching all kinds of TV.
Oh, for it to take effect.
For it to take effect. I'm messing with his dog. He has a dog, a very cute dog.
What's the dog's name?
The dog's name is Hawking, after Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
And it's the same dog as Einstein.
Same breed?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same. It's Doc Brown's dog.
So there's a lot of suggestions. Obviously, it seems like Anthony Mackie's character is supposed to have this, like, he's kind of a science wizard, a background or interest in physics and stuff. That kind of gets hinted to a lot.
Oh, yeah, because of the Einstein letter quote. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
He references, like, something about physics when he studied it, and obviously the name of his dog and the quotes he does. So obviously he's got an interesting background. How useful.
Yes, yes. Like, yeah, he's not just
like his gland.
He's not just an EMT driver. He's a,
right.
Basically he could have been a doctor if his friend wasn't such a dipshit.
I'll bet in the full unedited version, that would have been covered more. Like what he could have been. Like he just took this job to be with his friend and he's a physics whiz or something, but I digress. But he does very scientific method of like how he videotapes him going through these.
So go ahead, Ari.
So the first time that he jumps or phases, however you want to call it, he ends up in a swamp. Everything kind of dissolves away and he's standing in like shin high water. And there's a gator coming up on him. And then there is a Caucasian man in a
conquistador.
I either thought it was a conquistador, but based on their location, I assumed it was something to do with the French, because this is New Orleans, Louisiana, French, you know, influence. So he did end up saying something. I don't remember what it sounded like or what it was. Anyway, so the guy kind of goes after him with a sword and swipes at him, but just in time, I don't know the name of the character. What's his name?
Anthony Mackie.
Steve.
I'm probably just going to call him Anthony. Anyway, Steve phases back and he notices, you know, he's freaking out a little bit, but he notices that there's a sword indentation on the floor, like right where he was essentially standing. So then he starts his scientific recording of all of his next jumps. But because he set up a video camera, he's now moved location. He's about 4 feet away from where he was sitting on his couch, just kind of standing in his living room. He's got his video camera set up and he's like, all right, we'll see what's going to happen. And the video camera actually catches him phasing away, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I kept expecting it to be, well, no, I guess we knew it wasn't instantaneous already. Again, I'm shocked at the science and history that this movie maintains. Although New Orleans' early European residents were French, the architecture of the French Quarter is actually Spanish. To pay a war debt, France gave up control of Louisiana to Spain from 1763 until 1803.
Conquistadors.
So it was like a Spanish Inquisition conquistador. I don't know if those are the right things, but cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the helmet is very distinct, that like shape of the helmet that the guy was wearing. So second attempt being recorded, and he phases to an ice age.
Yeah, he doesn't change positions on purpose. He just changes to a location in his house where it's easier to record him.
Right. And then, so it's a completely different place and time. And I'm not sure, before this second jump, do we know how long he stays there? Because I remember
he starts timing it.
No, because they made it easy on us. When the TV flashes the first time, it flashes 10 p.m. And then when he wakes up, the clock behind him says 10:07.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I remember at that point, I think I said out loud, I was like, oh, he's got to survive there for 7 minutes. So we already knew that he was there for 7 minutes, but I don't remember how we knew that. So he phases back almost frozen, right? He's just completely like, I can't believe he survived there for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. Luckily he's an EMT, folks. Luckily, conveniently.
I can't wait till Scott writes his inconvenient script and everyone dies in the beginning because they don't know what they're doing.
Nothing
dealing
is
with.
Convenient. Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I don't know anything.
I don't have a physics background. Crap.
What's a pineal gland?
It's not calcified yet. What am I going to do?
Scott's Inconvenient Scripts. That's our new podcast. So he regroups.
So at this point, I think he kind of assumes that in different locations, it's different places. Because the third...
Different times.
Sorry, different times. Does the third trip he does it in the same spot?
Or he goes back to the Ice Age again, remember?
Right away for the third trip.
He's dressed warm and he meets the other guy.
And what does he do?
He brings some wood and he's wearing a heavy coat and a hat. And then automatically we start thinking, okay, so this pill that you take obviously affects your cells, but it also affects anything that you are touching, like clothes or shoes, but also anything that you're holding, like a pile of wood. But then I took it further and started going, well, why doesn't it affect the floor that he's standing on and the ground beneath the floor and the,
because
you know,
rubber isn't a conductor, Ari. Science.
Anyway, so that could be a hole right there. But anyway, he goes back
and invents fire.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, right? He might have. He could have jumped. He could have changed everything.
No,
but it's not linear either. So.
No. I don't think that people wouldn't have survived in the Ice Age without fire already. In fact, it's already been proven that by the time humans got to the ice belt or the ice bridge, whatever they called it back when that it froze across the, you know, the two continents, we already had fire. So,
okay. So the fire was there.
Sorry, Desi.
Well, they made the guys seem like he was seeing fire for the first time, but I guess it was
totally,
it was more of a friendship fire than a invention fire.
Totally. Totally.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, he comes across
Cro-Magnon, man.
Oh yeah,
Cro-Magnon,
and he gets really deep here too. We get this. We don't get a lot of VO in this, but towards the end of that jump, he starts like saying, "Like I see a guy that was probably as old as I was, but from the harsh lifestyle, looked to be twice my age, and I've come to one conclusion." The past sucks.
Past was really hard.
Yeah, everywhere he goes, there's like, yeah, there's either conquistadors or there's hicks or there's frozen ice. He's like, it was just hard to survive. And here we are complaining about, like, you know, my wife not loving me or whatever. And like, you're just lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, they live in a dark world as the EMT. They're just always dealing with like ODs and dismembered bodies. So that's kind of the world they walk around in.
That was another quote they talked about, is the percentage of how people die.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So he's marking the floors everywhere he time travels. He marks with an X.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he notices you don't travel. You just travel in time, not in space. But where you do it in your bedroom designates what time you go to. They go to different times, which
and
is random.
Vastly. Like, we're not talking like in the garage and the front room, like the couch and like the conquistador and the Ice Age were 3 feet apart.
Yeah. It's a really interesting concept, because if you think about that, and that is fixed, right? Because he went to the same time in the same location. And so that's fixed. Someone else could stand in that exact spot and go to that exact time. And that's an interesting concept, that everywhere, you know, in this universe that they've created, anywhere you stand and take this pill, it will take you to a very specific time.
Yeah, like little tunnels.
Let's get into this before I forget. I feel like this is sort of the long war, that the two points in time are moving.
Tomorrow War?
The Tomorrow War. The two points in time are moving, because when he went back to find Brianna, shouldn't he have fallen on top of her?
She moved.
She moved after. That's why she didn't make it back. She moved.
No. No, but if you are going to the exact same point in time.
Oh, you mean at the same time?
Then you will arrive at the exact same time she arrived.
Oh, I see what he's saying. He's right.
So if this spot on my
floor, when he got there, she'd already been there for a little bit. And he probably went there a week after she left for us. It seemed like that. She'd been missing for at least a week.
So she was.
No, I see what you're saying, Des. It is. It's like two rafts on a river. So you are not going to the. It's not starting over. So let's say the same spot that brings you to the ice age. You're not back to that same point where the man is walking up.
Right.
Time has continued in that spot.
Which is weird if it's a record and it's all just going on at the same time, that it would be. That doesn't make sense that it would be that way, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, that's a concept we should get into more.
Yeah.
Also, you would think he could have traveled to the future depending on where he went in his apartment then. If it's all just a record and you're just at one point in it, there's no reason why he couldn't future travel.
That's true. There was no future travel.
Yeah, I was very disappointed there was no future travel. That seems, even just for a minute, even if it was just his first test, you know, I think it would have been a good addition.
But I like their focus. We always talk about this, about traveling through time and space and the difference, and it doesn't make sense to be space and time a lot. The fact that they were that specific, right, when they were on the roof, and in another time, that roof wasn't there, but they're at that same height and that they fell.
Yeah, I really
that's like
that.
No one ever gets that specific in all these time travel movies. That was great.
Yeah, I really liked that.
But if it was that specific, then the woman at the beginning should have phased back inside of her bed.
She never left.
So
if she fell off her bed into the swamp,
there was no swamp. She was like sitting on a blanket.
Yeah.
There was like a blanket, whether that was from her bed, but then she was on some grass and there was a snake coming up between her legs.
Okay.
So for her, she was on the ground, I guess, back whatever time she went to, there was like a mountain that was at least two stories high. And she was on that point of the mountain.
Okay.
I think about weird things like, what if she went back in time and there was just a full mountain rock in her space and she came back while inside of a rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you come back in time where there's a wall and you are inside of a wall, it would be very unpleasant.
Well, and don't even get it. And just like, you know, if you time travel to the exact same point in space, then you would always time travel to the middle of the universe. Whereas like in the ice age, there was either way more or way less land. Like there's no way the land was exactly at the same level of his floor.
Oh yeah. That's interesting.
It's just not whether it's the ice melting or a mountain erupting or a river flooding. I don't know. I can get on board with them just landing wherever they are, but
yeah.
I'll hold on to this stuff for a
little. Well, we're still halfway through, right? So we're talking about the experiment.
So at this point, after the second jump to the ice age, Anthony is like, okay, I need to start figuring out how I'm going to get Brianna back. This is clearly what has happened to her.
Yeah. And he's running low on pills.
So he decides to do an experiment with his dog. And this is I started to hate this movie. So he takes Hawking with him on to see if it'll work. And of course it does, because anything you're holding and you intend to take with you goes with you. Not the couch you're sitting on, but the dog that you are holding next to you will travel with you back in time. And he does, on the other side of the couch now. And he ends up in like Hicksville.
Yeah, very white dominated New Orleans and South, where it's just all a bunch of white Hicks that are not looking favorably upon him as a black man.
But he actually phases to a couch in the same house.
Yeah.
The couch is in the same location. So I guess it's like the most optimal place for a couch in this house. So same house, same location, but it's someone else's house. And he, you know, someone comes out with a knife and he has to run out away from the spot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get back in time.
Yeah, he's walking around. He's a little freaked out. People are kind of out to kill him and he does not make it back.
So luckily he had the pills with him.
Yeah.
And somehow knows that he needs to take another pill to get back to his own time. And this right here is a huge hole that we can unwrap now, or we can try and fill in later.
Let's do it. Let's talk about this.
Do it now? Okay.
Yeah, because we got some, this is why we're here.
Yeah. So you take a pill and you travel in time, right? Randomly, depending on where you are located. So why would another pill take you back to the place that you wanted to go?
Well, it's based on the same. They're suggesting there's like almost
a link.
Yeah, like a wormhole, a tunnel, a link. Unfortunately, if they're saying this location goes from that time to this time, if you take this pill again and go to that location, it will take you back. It's like so a little.
You're telling me that if someone in that time somehow got this pill, got this ability to travel, and they took that pill, they would end up in the future on that couch?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, like we said, they're saying time's a record. That means it's not just the past, it's all of it. So there's no reason why you shouldn't go to the future and past. It just, this theory that there's only these tunnels at certain locations is weird. I mean, if you want this idea of like a frequency thing, yeah, but they don't explain that it is like there's a connecting point between those two times.
Here's
suggested.
Here's what I would have liked. When your drug wears off, wherever you are is where you return to.
Yes.
So instead of Brianna getting stuck,
yeah,
when she ran over to the battlefield, that should have taken her to a,
yeah,
maybe even, let's just pretend like it brings you back to your time. I can get on board with that. As weird as this drug is, when it wears off, but if you're not in the same location, you will not return to the same location. So I was hoping that she was going to be in their time, lost somewhere, because she was in the wrong place when the drug wore off.
I like what you're saying, but in a different way. I think you're right. The drug wears off 7 minutes, you go back, but it's from wherever. If everything is so frequency based, your location, then it just takes you back to whatever that point would take you. So if she walks a mile away, maybe it takes her to the 60s, maybe it takes her to the future. You can get really lost in time in that sense. If we're going with this idea of like location is your frequency,
yeah,
and the drug is going to return you, it should be based on where you are, and that's going to take you to where that's connected to. That would have been fun, and then she would have been lost anywhere in time, and he would have been screwed.
Well, and even like I said, even if, let's say, it always returns you back to your alpha timeline, you know, she could have still been lost stuck in a hotel basement or something, you know, trapped in a crate.
So this is interesting. So this is the first time on this episode we have mentioned timeline. Let's talk about that. Is this more than one timeline? Is this one timeline?
It is more than one timeline. I don't know why it's more than one timeline, but they show the same scene multiple times with different outcomes.
When
they he talks to her on the rock more than once. We see that scene at least twice.
No, they didn't show us the whole thing. It's a flashback. They didn't show us all of it. They were showing more. Yeah, they're not showing alternate timelines. They're expanding.
So I took this as one timeline,
yeah,
with no butterfly effect. So for those people who have never heard our podcast before, butterfly effect is when you change something in the past, it ripples forward and changes the future or the present. So I took it as this one, you can go back in time and introduce fire if that's what happened to those people and nothing happened, nothing changes because...
Well, because what's happened has happened. That's my idea. He always...
Right.
Yes.
Because everything is set.
He always went back and invented fire. The conquistador always saw some weird dude in the swamp.
Right. So because everything's set, including the future, which brings into the whole point of, is it free will? Is that the...
Yeah.
There's no free will. So in my mind, I took this as one timeline, no butterfly effect, because of all time happening has already happened.
Or I got a new theory that could be a thing for this. If it's all big record and it's everything... And if they weren't able to travel before and now they can, maybe once they make that change in the past, everything else adjusts accordingly. But at the same time, like you make that ripple and it's affected all of it, but it's all at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yes.
It's all, the record is all time. Yeah, I don't think there's any alternate timelines. It's a record. It's all been going on at the same time. If you can make a change, it seems unlikely against the whole concept that you could. Mm-hmm. But if you could make a change, as soon as you made it, that changes the entire record. All at the same time, and it's all that. Interesting way to look at it.
I'm freaking out now because I was certain we saw the same, because it was more than once, but I guess they just kept going back to play. Like when they're laying in bed.
There was a lot of like artistic editing in this. It was a little bit artsy for me.
It's trying to do that. It's trying to also go back and forth in time for the concept of it, but they're showing you just more information. It's kind of building, learning more about the characters as you go along.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
Because they're laying in bed here, the married couple. Oh no, they're not. Okay. I thought they were crying because
Brianna, yeah, it just shows significant parts in their life as memories. It plays with that a lot. It even shows Anthony Mackie, like you see the coffins coming up. That's explained later on. It's in his past. And so, you know, the movie's about time travel and they're showing you also bits of the story at different points, but in a way to build up the story.
It's called artistic editing.
Yeah. Tarantino does it. Sorry.
I don't know if that's what it's called. I just made it up. So anyway, he goes back in time with his dog and he doesn't get to the return spot in time, but he has the pills with him. So he's going to sneak in the middle of the night when the guy goes to bed. And he's going to sit on his couch and take a pill again, but things go wrong and he starts to phase back, but his dog is not in his lap and he loses the dog back in time. And we see this whole like flicker. And it's super sad.
She's losing.
So from this is straight from doesthedogdie.com. The dog does not die, but it disappears like a ghost and the owner cannot go back and save him. I do not know why. But this is extremely sad. Thankfully, it's brief. And then later down, someone on the same thread says, what he did to the dog was deaf abuse.
Wow. Wait, this is a website?
Yeah.
Doesthedogdie.com?
Yeah.
There's a website for everything.
Well, and it's a total, well, now it's a total just trigger site. It started out as Does the Dog Die, but now it's like.
It's a trigger.
It's just a total trigger
drug
site.
Drug abuse or rape or alcohol. It's actually a good website. I would use it for the dog dying thing because I cannot handle that. As soon as I knew what they were leading to with that, I was like, I hate this movie.
Yeah. Here you go.
Hey, you want Ari to like your film. You can do what you want to humans, but don't mess with the dogs because that makes her very sad.
For any.
Here's a trigger. Does someone use drugs? It's the entire plot of the movie. If this gives you a trigger,
that's a trigger.
Skip the whole.
Also, skip Scarface and Blow. Drugstore Cowboy and Train Spotting.
But it's actually a good website for people who do get actually triggered. It's helpful. So
So he realizes though that he grabbed the leash for the dog. The leash makes it back and not the dog. So he's learning that it's just like the first thing you have contact with your hand.
But it's also within a space because he was kind of standing on the couch.
I was about to say it's a hole.
Yeah. He was standing on the couch as he was trying to reach for the dog. And the first time when he first traveled there, he was sitting on the couch. So there must be some sort of like space.
He's not exactly in the same space and he goes back. It's a bit of a hole.
And plus with the tree, when he traveled into the tree, he's just kind of climbing up into the tree. Who knows where exactly he was.
Thank you.
But he made it back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So he's made it back and he looks to where the dog was and there's this like ghost shimmer of a dog.
He looks out the window and he just sees like the dog, like a ghost version of the dog, like whimper and kind of fade away. So now we know that if you don't make it back in the past, there's like a ghost of you, which is set up.
And unfortunately, they needed to kind of set this up for later in the movie, and unfortunately they used a dog to do it. We keep seeing the coffins. We see Anthony Mackie, and by now Anthony Mackie's like, he's only got a couple pills left. He's like, I gotta figure out how to go get Brianna. I don't know how I'm gonna do it with three pills left.
He's got three left now, right?
He's in a bar and a commercial comes on for Back to the Future.
Oh yeah.
And he exclaims how impossible that movie would be as a black man and scolds Marty for inventing rock and roll.
We could do a podcast just on like time travel films that reference Back to the Future.
Oh,
but it just goes to show you it's one of the greatest time travel movies. Okay, so he's got three pills left and he's like, okay, this is it. I gotta like really try to save her. So he goes to the location where her friend says that she disappeared. He sits in the chair and he takes the pill and he phases to being in a tree because he was on the roof where she disappeared, was on a roof. They were at a party. And when he phases, he's in a tree and has fallen, I guess it was one story, to the ground from this tree and finds himself in Louisiana. I don't know what time that was supposed to be, but he comes across a group of African-American African-American men doing like a seance something and tries to talk to them. And of course, the first thing he does when he gets there is call out her name. But these group of men kind of attack him. They weren't speaking English.
No.
And they kind of attack him and like hold him down to the ground and they look like they totally have him pinned, but he somehow gets away.
It looks like something's happening to him and they were so vague about it. And like, were they removing his clothes or were they trying to stab him and nothing happened to him and he gets away? But it was very confusing.
Yeah, that seemed like some kind of like, yeah, I bet there's some history to that ritual from Louisiana. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who that was and what they were doing.
It didn't look like voodoo or anything. It's some weirder shit.
But he like grabbed at one of the main guys' necklace as he was starting to phase, and he had the necklace with him when he finally got back. But to get back, he had to climb back up at this tree. And so he was essentially around the same area where he was when he first phased there, but he made it back perfectly in the chair that he was sitting
Maybe
in.
Maybe it's not so specific. Maybe it's got to be within a small range, like 3 feet.
No, his apartment proves that wrong.
Yeah.
Holes.
But then again, if the timeline extends straight up into infinity, then as long as he was, didn't matter what branch he was on, as long as he was on that point in space.
Yeah.
On Earth, I don't know.
So conveniently, as he has phased back to the point in which he thought Brianna had disappeared, the friend who was there while they were partying comes out for a smoke and he says, "Are you sure this is where she was when she disappeared?" And the clearly stoned friend was like, "I don't know. She wandered around." So he doesn't know where she disappeared. So now he is lost. He doesn't know what to do. And he has two pills left.
And he goes to a bar and hangs out with his friend.
Oh, yeah. They've been estranged for a little bit. They got in a fight because he told his friend, like, you don't have, he hasn't been telling his friend that he's dying of cancer. And then he goes off that his friend's always complaining with his, like, wife and kid. And
which he is. That's all the friend talks about. It's like, it's not the same. My wife, they have this new baby. It's like super boring.
Well, he also thinks that Anthony Mackie is abusing all of the drugs that are in the EMT truck. So he's acute. Anthony Mackie's accusing him of being a selfish asshole. And he's accusing Anthony Mackie of being a drug addict, and they're both kind of right and kind of wrong.
It's boring. Get to the traveling.
Right. Anyway, they get back together. They finally have a conversation about stuff. I think he clues him in on what's going on. And then he tells him what he's been doing with his experiments. And then he wants to find Brianna.
Shows him the video.
But he doesn't know. Right. Shows him the video, but he doesn't know where to go because she wandered. And he's like, "You've got the same DNA. So what would you do?
Where would she go?"
And he says, "I would go to like, what, a familiar spot or something where you can send a message from the past."
He's like, "I would send a message."
Yeah.
And this whole time, there's this rock in a field. I guess it's a park. It's kind of by the water. And on this rock is been inscribed, written in it, the word "always." And you definitely see that a few times.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
Because it's spelled "always," A-L-L.
Yeah. Yeah, you see it in the beginning. It's clearly significant even when we first see it. Like, oh, this is going to be a thing.
Yeah,
totally. I called it.
Yeah. You called like all of the
calls. Most of the film.
The callbacks, yeah. You're like, he's like, that's going to come back into play. That's going to come back into play. So they both kind of have like a light bulb go on. But I think he tells a story first. He was like, "The last conversation I had with her, something, something, something. And the last thing I said was always." To his daughter.
Oh.
Do you remember that conversation? What that story was?
Yeah. Is that when they were playing basketball?
I don't know if they actually did in the movie. He was just saying when he had the talk with his daughter.
"I will love you always."
Something about life and
Is that what it was? "I love you always. I'll love you always" or something. Anyway, the last word he said to his daughter before she disappeared was "always." So they go to that rock. Right.
Yeah.
And of course the dad's like, "I want to do it. I want to jump." And Anthony's like, "You can't because I conveniently have this tumor."
And that's this non-calcified gland of an 18-year-old. It has to be.
Yeah.
Plus he's dying. It seems like. Yeah.
Right. So he's got two pills left. He takes one and he goes. And where does he phase into?
Before he goes, there's the whole speech about life. Like before he leaves his final time, he's kind of saying in all these trips and travels, he realizes how sweet and precious life is. And here we are. You complain about your crap. I create my crap. It's beautiful. We don't have to worry about Ice Age. Don't worry about this. It's such a sweet, now that he's dying and he sees that, he appreciates the nectar of life and how his friend should stop bitching and appreciate that he's got a great wife and a great kid. And it's all how you look at it.
It was boring. Anyway.
Life is beautiful. blah. You should appreciate life. Fuck it.
The writer of this movie was suffering.
Get to the traveling. I just didn't connect with these characters. It didn't do it for me. I don't know why. The acting was great.
You're not a complaining male.
it's just, I don't know. For me, I didn't connect with them.
It was kind of sitcom-y. It was just like, yeah, it was the fluffy, married, tortured guy and the fun neighbor.
I think if it was different directing, possibly different like cinematography, I would have connected with it more. But it just, for me, felt
if,
like a...
If it was like Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds and they switch bodies.
What?
There we... Now we're getting somewhere.
It's the movie where one is like the one with the wife and kids and he's responsible, and the other one's the one who like is a player, and it's, they both envy each other's lives. They switch bodies. That's all.
Oh, what if he had taken... Oh my God. Anthony Mackie should have taken the pill and gone back, just by dumb luck, of course, to the night where he basically handed Katie Asselton to Jamie Dornan.
Oh yeah. He could have just kept her as his own wife.
He could have. Yeah. He could have figured that
out.
Oh
yeah. There was that interesting whole thing to play with.
Yeah. It's almost like he handed him his life.
Yeah.
They make Anthony Mackie's character to be this angel of sorts. They don't reference it, but the fact, there's a part in the story where they talk about how Anthony Mackie saw a coffin with like his parents and daughter and sister dead.
Yeah.
And in that moment, he still turns to his friend and is like, are you okay? Like, it's happened to his family. His friend's always complaining. He's always taking care of him. So he's a bit of a martyr for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting script. It really is. But there was something about the directing, the acting overall, which tells me it was the directing, and it just didn't feel...
Yeah.
For me, did it pulled you guys in? Did you really feel for these guys? Like the guy complaining, I was like, oh my God, stop complaining.
It's like a drier, I said seven, but this is like just a drier version of that, of just kind of like walking amongst the dead, kind of depressed about stuff and not.
I enjoyed it on the black and white level, like, you know, as a middle-aged man, I don't get these exact problems, but I get the like, it's a classic thing.
Yeah.
I've made a lot of choices and here I am, and I regret some and I don't regret some. And, you know, let's make it work. But on a deep film story level, I agree with you, Ari.
Yeah.
But
okay. So he takes the pill and he phases after their very deep conversation. And he has arrived at a active war scene, bombs going off, fire around, dead bodies, cannons.
Is it civil war or is this the French?
I'm thinking that the way he said slave.
Oh yeah.
The way
the guy
came over and said slave after.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it must have been civil war.
Yeah.
And he, you know, has to run for cover because there's bombs and bullets everywhere. And he comes to like a trench and it's full of dead bodies. And he's got hit by shrapnel on his leg and he's limping and he's just like kind of crawling along this trench full of bodies. And he happens to come across Brianna. Convenient.
Who has apparently been there. How long do we think this movie is?
At least a week, if not more.
No, yeah. Not more than a week. Not more than a week.
Yeah, she wouldn't have had food. She wouldn't have.
She had water, though. She had a little canteen of water I saw her drinking. So not more than a week, because she went missing and he immediately went out to get those pills. And I think it's been less than a week. That's my take. So he gives her a pill where they are right now. He gives her a pill. It's less than 7 minutes. I think he looks at his watch and it's like they have 3 minutes left. He has 3 minutes left and he gives her a pill. And I guess the pill takes like 5 minutes to kick in.
I mean, his first pill seemed to take an hour. His second pill, we watched the second pill take 45 seconds. And then the rest of it's just...
So they've got to make it back to that rock. And as they're limping their way back to the rock, they get there. But someone shows up with a gun pointed at them. And
at him. They're not worried about the white girl.
Yeah, at him.
Well, he's worried because he makes it back to the rock in time. He could have went back, but then she would have been left alone with this dude with a gun. And he knows that he can't do that. So that's when he sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to make sure this guy takes me and not her, and she gets back safe.
And it's kind of at the point where he realizes what he has to do, and you know, the movie says, okay, he's gonna sacrifice himself. So he somehow gets the guy with the gun to step on a landmine.
Yeah. Oh yeah, don't forget he's when he talks to Brianna, he said, yeah, she's like, how'd you find me? Oh, we got that message you left in the rock. She goes, I didn't leave any message.
Oh yeah, what message?
Yeah. So yes, he gets the guy to step on a landmine.
So she didn't write the alt word always. and the guy steps on a landmine and he turns around and she's gone, and he kind of knows it's too late, and he just kind of sits on the rock or stands by the rock. And we jump back to Brianna hugging her dad and saying, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Yes,
I'm great.
I've been in a civil war without food, a bunch of dead bodies for a week, but I'm okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, but I'm fine.
I slept great. It's a vacation."
And they kind of look to the side and they see the ghost of Anthony Mackie, kind of like how the dog was shimmering, but he was able to extend his hand and they were able to shake hands, which, why could you touch him if he was physically there, but he just didn't make it back?
Because it's touching for the story.
Yeah.
And then we don't see it, but obviously he scratches Always into the rock.
You see him start to write it.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So these guys, you find out they've been friends since high school, and I guess they just took the same job together, and, you know, they're like brothers, and obviously they fight, but they've done everything together for about over 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. And that's the end of the story, ladies and gentlemen.
And all the synchronic that we didn't mention either, but he did hear at one point that the guy that created the drug had killed himself, and he had bought up all the rest of the drug except for the ones that Anthony Mackie got. So now that guy is gone, and theoretically the drugs are gone.
And he killed himself?
Yeah, he killed himself.
Yeah, when he leaves Anthony Mackie, he says, "Just got one more person to take care of."
Oh.
And then we see on the news.
Yeah.
He's gone.
So there's your film. Unique, right? Yeah. We've not seen a psychedelic one where all you got to change is your glance. Like, time is all there and you're just changing how you see it, how you perceive it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Say that again.
Time is all just all around you, all the different times. It's just changing your gland and how you perceive. You know, I like this idea that if all time's around you, it's kind of more of a frequency-based thing. Instead of actually traveling somewhere through wormholes, through time and space, it's all there. You just got to adjust your frequency to see the other time that's like happening in a different vibration. I like that idea.
Especially, that would be dope as a full-grown male with a non-functioning pineal gland, just to go get a glimpse without actually fully time traveling, just get a little peek. That'd be awesome.
Well, you're time traveling. You're just not traveling in space.
Well, you don't have if you're older, I don't think you have the fear of getting stuck there.
Oh, you're like a ghost. Yeah.
You're just peeking through the wormhole.
Like a ghost.
So they were saying, yeah, I'm not getting, so if you are older, does that mean you cannot travel back with that drug? Or if you do, you won't get stuck there? Or if you do, you will get stuck there? I think I missed
you
that.
You appear as a ghost for a moment and get a glimpse of the other time.
You only ghost. You don't actually go there if you're older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah.
So yeah, unique film.
Mm-hmm. Original for sure.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted from it. Not super entertaining.
I mean, the movie wasn't great, but this concept is really original. I liked it. I appreciated the traveling only in time and not in space. Not many time travel stories do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no device to do it. Just changing your gland, yeah. Right, a psychedelic change your gland.
Your third eye.
This is so. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it seems like there's every time travel movie, it's a trope of the movie that there is that moment. And that moment was the conversation with the scientist where he says, yeah, it is like a record. And we should name that moment. What is that called?
Yes.
I call it the scientific explanation.
There's always the, like, let me explain how this device of this film works to you.
Or how time travel works.
When you go in this closet, you will automatically transport life. It's like a record when you take the psychedelic.
What do they say in, I forget what he says, what Ant-Man says in Endgame. He's like, oh, you just throw that word in front of anything to make
quantum.
It
quantum.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our quantum moment.
Yeah, they actually said quantum in this film too. It got thrown out for
did
something.
They?
Yeah, there was one. It got mentioned once for something.
I missed it.
There's a little physics stuff dropped in. But you know what? They did the research for the film. There was a point where we're like, is that gland real? And it absolutely is. And everything they said about it was real. And so they did it. And it sounds like their history, they looked into that.
Yeah, you guys, this conversation, just like the last one, like really cleared up. Like I was coming with an Afghan of conversation and you guys filled in all my holes and gave me a nice little warm blanket to cuddle myself in.
After all your holes were filled?
I love his metaphors.
You guys filled my holes. Like I was like, this is a really cool idea. And they puffed it up on every level, but you guys brought it to, this is, and especially after talking to you guys and realizing that there weren't as many holes as I thought, I still agree with my first thought was like, gosh, this script could have used one more pass. like, and I've never written a script. I don't plan on writing a script. I can't even imagine how hard it is. But it, like, sometimes when I watch movies, I feel like the writer got to the last page and forgot he could go back and change something if he wanted to. He's like, well, I've written myself into this hole, so I guess I just gotta figure it out. And it's like, well, no, if you go back to page 3 and just change a few words here, then that'll get you out of this thing over here.
Well, as far as time travel holes go, there will always be holes. Remember, we've had this conversation in past episodes. It's time travel. There will always be holes, and we've put it out there to the general public.
Interstellar?
Find me a time travel movie that doesn't have any holes in it, and it's not possible because it's time travel.
Interstellar.
There will always be paradoxes.
Interstellar.
Think that maybe Interstellar might be the one that takes the cake with that.
Interstellar.
Any movie that uses black holes as
goes into a black hole. You cannot survive.
They're mysterious.
If you go into a black hole, you cannot survive. Crap. So there will always be a hole. Crap. It's time travel.
Yeah.
Someone write me a script where there's no holes, you'll win the Nobel Peace Prize or whatever, because it's not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Nobel, not Nobel Peace Prize, just the Nobel Prize.
Some prize. Prize from us.
So I'm gonna ask this question on two levels. You have an adult pineal gland, so you can just get a glimpse. Do you use it? Or you have this Anthony Mackie disease and you're going to go to God knows where for 7 minutes. Do you dare take this drug? You know it functions fine. It's been tested. The government says exactly what it'll do.
Watching this movie, none of the time travel was fun. It was all really dangerous.
But all of the kids who took it, they all died. They got stabbed and burned and bit by a snake and fell down a thing. So
an ice age.
Most people died. Alligator. The fact that Anthony Mackie survived so many times by not dying was just dumb luck and convenience. But most people died doing this.
So do major earth-altering events, is that what rips a wormhole into time and space and allows for you to travel there?
Define major events.
Civil War, Spaniards conquering Louisiana.
They're just giving us stuff to recognize the time period. He was just in a swamp and there was no conquistador. We don't know what time
when it was. Yeah. I don't think so, does he?
Just like with the future, just like with the future, like they should have gone to the future and there should have been one, just like warp tour 96, baby.
Yeah, I agree with you that they should have gone to the future, because they went to the future when they were stuck in the past. Yeah. So why couldn't it just have taken you to the future?
Because they spent all their budget on Anthony Mackie and not the time travel stuff.
And the future is expensive.
The future is expensive.
That Mackie money. That'll
Mackie
get you.
Money.
That'll
He's already the Falcon. You got to spend that money for the Mackie.
So no, I would not do it as a teenager gland or whatever it was called. But I would do it as an adult gland.
Yeah, get the ghost, just check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. Well, and the cool, like, if this drug was around, then there would be points in space where you could go. Like, hey, come to our lobby and visit, you know, visit Woodstock. Like
like tourism.
Yeah, totally. We have the couch that takes you to Woodstock, or you go to
has that been done in a film, time travel tourism?
Not in a film that I've done, but I read a story that was like that.
That's really interesting.
I think there's a movie called, I think it's kind of on the cheap side. It was early when Amazon was just like throwing people money and just being like, here, fine, make your movie. Here's $100,000. But there's one called The Travel Agent, I think, out there. And maybe I need to look.
It's based on the story.
Look that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I love the idea that, like, I mean, they have to do a way where you can't affect the past, but like, hey, come check out, you know, different battles or different like big moments in history. Pay a lot of money.
Maybe we should do that one next.
I know. I'm looking it up right now to see. Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'm a liar.
It's possible. When you take that drug, it starts messing with your brain a little bit.
Would you do it, Desi, with the teenager gland?
If I knew everything that I know, like, you know, if someone's just like, here, take this, you'll go to God knows where. I know. But if this is a, like, a thing that people do and there's tourism involved and I know where I might go, or I know that I need to take a lot. No.
A coat.
No, I wouldn't.
Pretty risky. It's pretty risky.
I wouldn't, because you just don't. I would take it in a heartbeat with the adult pineal gland, like to get a peek. That would be super sexy to just go get a peek at a dinosaur. But no, because especially with, like, it's not even about the time I go. Like, maybe I could take, you know, weapons and clothes just in case I entered an active war zone in the Ice Age. But I don't trust that I wouldn't appear in a cavern somewhere or something like that, or just falling 100 stories before I hit the ground.
Yeah, like, this movie didn't romanticize time traveling. Like you said, it was always really hard in all these times just to stay alive, let alone just to whine about our problems. You're just lucky that you don't have to fight off anyone just to exist.
Yeah. Are we satisfied?
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Arielle Galau.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye.